I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out with the former Atlanta Falcon national champion Mikey P. Mike Johnson as we are broadcasting live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at the Branch, Flowery Branch, IBM Performance Center if you want to get all particular and specific with it. Yeah. But Falcons practice still going on here. Got about a little over 30 minutes left before they're going to wrap up practice here. Practice set to end at 11:30, but Mike, I know you're going to get to this too, and I got to give a couple of shout-outs here. First of all, shout-out to our girl Noel White holding it down behind the glass. Shout-out to our guy Slim, who is keeping us on air here as our engineer here live at Falcons training camp here at Flyer Branch. And Slim also, he did the Lord's work just now.
He just did.
He just hooked us up.
Ain't no doubt about
that. He went
in
and got us some food, man, and he hooked us up. And, man, this is spectacular.
Some crinkle fries, little beef slider. It is what it is, a little barbecue over from our guys over at the Fly High Truck. $5 a plate, man. So they done brought Mercedes-Benz stadium pricing down here, it sounds like, out here to the fan zone of the Branch. So,
And Mike, we were wondering, too. We were like, because we saw people just walking around with plates on plates. I saw this one dude. He had about 4 or 5 plates. Not even joke. I mean, the plastic bag he had all the plates in was about to rip. That's how stacked it was.
Getting fed.
And now we understand why.
It looked like
the prices are so good, you got to get about 4 or 5 plates.
It looked like he was coming from one of those gas station smokers, you know what I mean, on the side. They got the picnic table out front. And you stop at the interstate exit.
Yep.
It must be throwing down over there. So, yeah, man, got the little, the feather flags outside,
Right.
You see you just know it's good food over there.
You see the feather flags at the end of the interstate exit, and it's just a big black smoker. You know that's some good food right there.
You know it's going down over there, man. But, so obviously, like you've talked about, the vibes are high out here, up here in Flowery Branch. Now, I do want to bring up one thing from the interview with Tyler Algier. We didn't get a chance to hit on it a minute ago.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job talking to him about – they asked him how much he squatted. And I always say this because we're sitting in front of this shiny new weight room.
Yes.
Because of this weight room, we did not get a chance to be out here live at training camp last year with the fans because this weight room was under construction, just too much of a hurdle as far as having to move people around and get people over the hill and things like that. So they did without fans last year. But fans are back. The weight room is complete. And we've been watching guys throughout the day and really early morning since we've been out here lifting weights in the weight room. They asked Tyler Algier, hey, how much you squat?
Yeah.
And I think this is imperative because I get this question all the time. Man, hey, you're strong. When you're in the NFL, how much you squat? Most of the time, NFL players are not maxing out anymore.
Really?
It's just not a thing.
Why is that?
It's upkeep. You're just trying to build football strength, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need my numbers on the whiteboard in there saying this guy, squats 550. And not that I ever did. But I'm just saying a lot of people miss that. When I was always around high schoolers, it's like, hey, man, when you was a Falcon, how much you squat? Or you meet Tyler Drew, how much you squat, man? And he brought up a good point. He's like, usually I'm just three plates, and I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to move the weight. I'm trying to get out from under it. I'll go till I can't do it no more or whatever else, three sets of eight or whatever else. A lot of people miss that, man. So as I've been watching the kettlebell split squats or the box step-ups, you lose a lot of that grit where you're like, man, hey, I'm maxing today. I'm going out there to get 350 on a power clean. It just doesn't happen as often in the NFL. So when they asked that, I was like, man, I can't wait to hear what his answer is because he's usually not going to step up under and try to get 480 on the deep squat.
And we'll get to Michael Penix Jr. and his comments about Kyle Pitts here in a minute. But I do have a quick follow-up on that. So is it more so what you said about maintaining and maintaining that strength and making sure you have that football strength? Is that more so the mindset during training camp once you get into training camp and you're really just as far as maybe getting stronger goes and maybe the max outs and things like that, are you doing that more so the offseason on your own time and then like you said when you get here it's just about maintaining or are you just maintaining throughout the offseason too and not necessarily working to max out or anything like that and you just getting stronger just comes with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is reserved. The heavy duty lifting is reserved for the offseason, always should be and always probably will be. Now, there's different schools of thought. The more you get into it, the more there are people that want you to power clean on game day. I know there's certain soccer people that if you power clean or hang clean on game day, then you get into the flow of the game a lot faster because your muscles are already ready to rock, the posterior chain, everything else. But for the most part, things like back squats, heavy bench press, and things like that, you're going to reserve for the off season until you can hit it running during the season. It doesn't mean you don't do it, but it just means that the heavy stuff be a lot of times reserved for the off season getting stronger because when you get in here, and you are really stressing your muscles out to the max every single day, the last thing you want to do is get up under 450, 500 pounds of weight and try to move that. So, yeah, man, it's different for everybody. It's different, honestly, for different position groups. It's different for where you are in your career. You weren't going to see Matt Ryan step under the, you know, the Olympic bar and try to, you know, hang snatch 315.
Right.
A lot of his was functional movement stuff. Same with, like, an older Tony Gonzalez and things like that. But for younger players, it is imperative to continue that journey of making sure you get as strong as you can and be able to really move that weight specifically along the line of scrimmage.
There it is. So, a lot of, again, just maintaining. Ain't maxing out right now. You don't want to do all that going into training camp. Just a lot of maintaining happening right now at Falcons training camp and training camps throughout the NFL. It is your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey Pete, Mike Johnson, as we are here with you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, broadcasting live from Atlanta Falcons training camp with you until 1 o'clock. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And follow the guy, Mikey Pete, at MP Johnson 79. Mike, we got to get into this conversation about Michael Penix Jr. and what he had to say about Kyle Pitts. We all have heard it by this point, him saying, you saw we got Kyle Pitts the ball a lot today. There's going to be a lot of that. He said that those are the first words, unprovoked, the first words out of his mouth after, what was it, day two,
That was day one.
After day one of Falcons practice here at training camp. And Mike, my take on it, and I want to get your thoughts on it, my take on it is that that's great. I hope Michael Penix Jr. can unlock something out of Kyle Pitts. I hope he can get him back to that 1,000-yard receiver that we saw in his that Kyle Pitts was in his rookie season with Matt Ryan. I hope he can get back to those heights. I hope he can get back to those levels, along with double-digit touchdowns or close to double-digit touchdowns. But my thing is, at this point, when you have such dynamic players on offense like Drake London, like Darnell Mooney, like Bijan Robinson, and those guys have shown up and shown out ever since they've gotten here. When you talk about Kyle Pitts and him being, let's just be honest, underwhelming, is Zach Robinson, and look, I know the ways, and you can touch on this more, you're better to talk about this because, again, you played in the NFL. But I don't know, is Zach Robinson going out of his way to necessarily draw up any specific plays to scheme open Kyle Pitts? Or is it just like, hey, if he gets open, great, but I'm not doing anything necessarily to scheme him open? Well, at this point in his career?
Yeah, I think that will be one of the questions I have going through training camp. And we've talked a little bit on the morning shift and also today about today with Josh Kendall earlier about what is Kyle Pitts? Like, right, so what is Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts has talked a little bit about, and you saw him do a couple podcasts. He's done some hits, you know, talking about, I think he was talking to maybe Chad Ochocinco not too long ago.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, on the nightcap.
Like, are you a wide receiver? Are you a tight end? Are they going to ask you to be an inline blocker again this year? Or are you going to split out wide? Are you going to be detached a lot in the way? They've gone away from early in his career trying to use him in the way you would a Kittle. Like, right, where you're attached lines. Kittle's an incredible blocker, great feet. To maybe that does need to be more of a Travis Kelce, where he is attached, but he's not being asked to do too much on the front side of plays. And as you saw things progress through last season, the snaps became less and less. It became a lot more Charlie Warner and everybody else, you know, Ross Dwelly, involved in this offense. So I have questions about their role for him. But in my opinion, year five, it's no longer up for the Atlanta Falcons coaches to have to scheme Kyle Pitts wide open. If Kyle Pitts is truly a mismatch, if he can run away from linebackers, and if he can be physical with corners, and he's truly a mismatch, you don't have to scheme all the time for mismatches. That's the beauty of having a quote unicorn tight end. You don't have to scheme for a unicorn. Unicorns can go out and say, oh, hey, I'm lined up against an outside linebacker. Gone. 4-4 speed, gone. Corner, I'm about to out physical this dude, and I'm going to wrestle him to the, you know, to the point of contact and getting the ball in my hands. And that's been the frustrating thing for me, is I think when people look at it and go, hey, you know, four different starting quarterbacks, four different offensive coordinators, whatever, maybe three different. Okay, then talk to me about Drake London.
Yep.
Drake London, 866 3 years ago. Drake London, 905 2 years ago. Drake London, 1,200 last year. He's dealt with all the same things, and
yep,
he continues to flourish in different – same with Darnell Mooney.
Yep.
Darnell Mooney comes from a broken Chicago system. He gets plugged in with Kirk Cousins. Guess what? Ends up going off almost 1,000 yards last year.
Would have had 1,000 yards if he didn't get hurt.
If he played the end of the season, he would have had 1,000 yards. So you're not scheming those guys. And when you talk about a unicorn, a guy that can do everything, you shouldn't have to scheme those guys. So I just keep going back to it, and we talked at length about Josh Kendall. And Josh was cracking me up because Josh just straight up said, I went into training camp saying I'm not writing about Kyle Pitts for at least 2 weeks. And what's the first thing out of Michael Penix's mouth when he said, unprompted, steps up to the podium and says, got KP the ball today. I was in the fact that, like Kendall said, those guys are friends.
Yeah.
They've been playing golf. They're around one another a lot. But I also think that he knows that he has to get Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts has that personality where he has to be involved in the game plan early, and that it's going to keep him fighting at a high level for the rest of the game, just for the rest of the week, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I don't know. And I spent a lot of time last year saying Kyle Pitts is here. I think I even drafted him on the fantasy team. You know what I mean? The ultimate stamp of approval of saying, yeah, you know what? This guy is going to get me something. Do it this year. You just do it with a grain of salt and say, you know what? I was excited last year. He goes off at second year high school, does a number of things that excited. And a lot of times it happens on days like we've seen the last few days. What's going on out there right now, Dylan? They don't have pads on.
Right.
And the pads get strapped on. Now I have questions about what exactly he's doing. So we'll see. I'm not going to put any expectations on Kyle Pitts. If he gets 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, I'd love it. You know what I mean? I'd love it. I just don't want him to be the parachute behind the drag car this year. You know what I mean? Don't
right.
drag me down on the way to trying to get you reps. Either get in there and fight for plays, fight for balls, fight for routes, or get out of the way and let's put a different personnel package in here in year 5 for Kyle Pitts.
And while we have a couple minutes here, again, it is your boy Dylan Matthews and your boy Mikey P. Mike Johnson, former Atlanta Falcon, hanging out with you live at Valley Branch for Atlanta Falcons training camp day 4 as we're just about a little over 15 minutes away from Falcons practice wrapping up here, set to wrap up at 11:30. We will have Chris Lindstrom on coming up here at probably around noon-ish as well. And we'll also have our eyes and ears today. Abe Gordon jumping on with us for a segment here coming up in just a little bit as well. Mike, while we have a couple minutes, I do want to ask you a follow-up about Kyle Pitts. And you talked about it a little bit, so I feel like I may know your answer here. But what does a good season look like for Kyle Pitts? Is it what you just said, the 800 yards and 8 touchdowns? Is that a season when you're like, okay, he wasn't that parachute that you just talked about. He wasn't holding us back. He wasn't necessarily great. He wasn't, you know, the number one reason that this offense flourished, but he was involved enough to where he wasn't in the way.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. And I think it's interesting because you look at great wide receiver, great tight end years. They're not all in systems like the Falcons run.
Right.
And I think that's imperative to kind of keep in mind. The Falcons are still a run first team, and they always will be a run first team with Dwayne Ledford, with the offensive line they have, with Bijan Robinson. They are built to run wide zone first and foremost. As a matter of fact, when we get Chris Lindstrom on here in about a half an hour, I want to talk to him about the wide zone scheme and about the fact that he's not asked to do some of the things that the other teams around the NFL would ask him of. But, you know, there was a stretch of years where Travis Kelce had, what, 7, 8 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons?
Yeah.
How much have we talked about the wide receivers from the Chiefs over that run? Barely any, because they haven't had any.
Only right? Tyreek Hill when Tyreek Hill was there at the same time.
Right, exactly. And there's been a revolving door running back, you know, Pacheco and different guys like that. It's like, oh, man, this guy's good. That guy's good. They cut this guy. They drafted this guy. They cut this guy. You don't know. That has been an offense that has run through Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce for a long time now. That's just not what Kyle Pitts is dealing with. Drake London's going to get his 1,000 in a good year. Darnell Mooney's going to get his 1,000 in a good year. Bijan's going to get his 1,000. You're going to get yards to Tyler Algier. So it comes along with it of saying, man, this is really a five-headed monster in terms of the offense and what they can be. Everybody's got to downgrade exactly what they're looking at. You know, we've talked a little bit this preseason about Terry McLaurin from the Commanders. Terry McLaurin has been great for a lot of years on bad offenses for the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
So his numbers get inflated to an extent. You're not going to get Brian Robinson in there or Austin Eckler that are going to rush for this many yards or that
Debo
many yards.
Now he's got to worry
right.
about too. Share
so now you start to take away from certain guys and give to other guys. So I would say this year a great year from Kyle Pitts, like I mentioned a minute ago, 800 yards receiving, 850, 8 touchdowns, 7, 8 touchdowns, something along those lines. But it's hard to say, oh, home run year. I would say this, if Kyle Pitts gets 1,000, 1,100, something probably went wrong offensively for the rest of the Falcons because that means that Bijan's not getting his. It means that Drake's not getting his. Somebody along the lines is not getting theirs because they have, you know, that's just not what this offense is. So we'll see, you know, unless they're setting records.
Yeah.
Unless Michael Penix is throwing for 6,000 yards, then maybe.
Unless we see the second right. iteration of the 2016
right.
Falcons.
Right. Unless they're setting records, I would say that that's not an attainable thing. So, yeah, I would say a great year. I'm going to put it right at 800, something like that. That means that he's had a few hundred-yard games, some really good games along the way, and he's getting in the end zone.
And to your point, I think, again, this season for Kyle Pitts, like you said, because we know Drake's going to get his yards. We know Darnell's going to get his yards. Even Ray-Ray. Ray-Ray had, what, almost 700 yards last year.
I think he was very close to what Kyle Pitts did last year with Ray-Ray McCloud.
Absolutely. So all those guys are going to get their yards. So I think it's less about the yardage for Kyle Pitts, more about his impact. When is he making catches? Is he getting those big third downs? Is he going to get targeted on third downs? And is he the red zone threat that we all thought he would be? And like you said, if he gets to that 8-touchdown number, that doubles what he had last year. He only had 4 touchdowns last year. So if he's that red zone threat and if he's catching and getting those touchdowns, I think that's a bigger indication of how good of a year Kyle Pitts has is those touchdowns more than so the yardage, just because – the Falcons are going to be able to, and we should expect the Falcons to spread the ball around a lot because of the weapons and the offensive weapons that they have. So we'll see how that goes. But coming up on the other side about 5 minutes from now, Mikey P and I continue, and the owner of the Atlanta Falcons spoke to Steve Weiss yesterday on the NFL Network, and he had a couple of interesting things to say. We got a couple of interesting things from Jake Matthews and Ryan Neusel as well, so we're going to let you hear all a little bit of that when we come back here. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and your boy Mikey P, the former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson, broadcasting live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. Day 4 of practice, getting close to wrapping it up, but we are far from done. We got still got Chris Lindstrom coming up, and we got plenty of good sound to come up on the other side here. So that's coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers. Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION. And Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out with the former Atlanta Falcon, Mikey P, Mike Johnson, as we broadcast live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. Day 4 of Falcons training camp. Day 3 of the open practice, third open practice out here. Appreciate everybody that stopped by and said hello and chopped up. We just got some good trivia that we're going to save for tomorrow on the morning show from our guy Calvin from Locust Grove. And we got plenty of Falcons fans up there enjoying the sights and sounds and scenes on the hill. And still got some getting some good food. So another great turnout today. So, man, it's been a great day. The weather has been – it's been bearable. We haven't got to the 90s yet. There's not a cloud in the sky. So all in all, Mike, it's been a great day.
Yeah, and I was actually having this conversation yesterday. You know, I was at the beach a couple of weeks ago, and I'm from Florida, from the Panhandle. And you forget how hot it is down there until you go visit. And then I'll think it's hot in Georgia, and then I go down to Florida, and I'm like, God, dog, how did I play football on this in high school? Right. And then I come back up here, and the key is find some shade. I know the people on the hill don't really find shade, but you can find some shade. That's where you feel good. But I tweeted a picture out of it a minute ago, and I tweeted a picture of the hill, and it's just loaded down with people. And, look, people are excited. And I think the key here is people are ready for some playoff football.
Yes.
You know, Arthur Blank, we'll talk about him in just a minute, but he's 82 years old, I believe, at this point. It's been since he was, what, 74 years old that the Falcons are going to the playoffs?
Yeah, 2017.
I mean, it's crazy to think about it in terms of that. Think about it. Arthur was 74 when the Falcons go to the playoffs. He is a couple of years older than Bill Belichick is right now when the Falcons are in the playoffs. Now he's 82, and you're going, man. And, it's been a long few years for him. He kept talking about it yesterday. So it is cool, and it's cool to see the excitement of Falcons fans. I think everybody kind of feels the same way, that you're finally to a point where the future does not seem bleak for the franchise. And you look around other teams, we've talked a little bit about the Titans. We talked about the Panthers. God knows, we talked about the New Orleans Saints. And things just feel bleak in terms of the outlook, the immediate outlook of those franchises. You don't feel that way if you're Atlanta Falcons fans. You feel like the upside is here. You feel like the window is starting to open, and you get excited about what you can see on the field.
And part of the reason that future does not seem bleak and the future seems so bright for the Atlanta Falcons is because of one Michael Penix Jr. And our starting center, Ryan Neusel, was in a scrum yesterday speaking to the media, and he talked about and was asked if there has been any conversations amongst the O-line about Michael Penix Jr. being able to scramble more.
Definitely helps in some aspects. It's always nice knowing where the quarterback is first, but it's definitely good at being able to scramble a little bit in just certain situations.
Mike, I want to ask you a question about this real quick. How much is it going to help that offensive line, that Michael Penix can move around when things get broken a little bit. He can get out of some situations. How much of a help is that to an offensive line? And how much is it going to be an adjustment, too? And I know they had three games last year, but with Kirk, you knew he wasn't really going anywhere. But with Michael Penix Jr., there can be times where if he scrambles out maybe a little too early, we can see a few more holding penalties. And also maybe there are times where he runs into sacks because maybe the offensive lineman thinks he's going to go one way, and so he's trying to shift that defensive lineman that one way, and then Michael Penix trying to scramble, make something happen. He goes that way, and maybe he runs into a couple of sacks. So how much does it help, and how much will there be?
Hey, man, spoken like a like I know that I come at everything from an offensive line perspective, and it's cracking me up because you don't, and I appreciate that from you. I promise you, holding calls aside or not knowing which way he's going, they would much rather have a guy that is going to scramble behind them. And here's why. I think too many people, when you look at scrambles and you think about offensive line play and you think, oh, man, he saved them from giving part of it. You know, a guy that has escapability, and if you get beat around the edge, you know he can help you out. He can scramble. He can gain yards. He can turn a negative into a positive. But it's also the mindset. So think about if you're a defensive lineman and you're getting a scouting report ready. Let's just say it's Monday. You're going in to watch film for your week three matchup against the Falcons. And you're watching Michael Penix rip off two 20-yard gains. Right, and they both come on third down. You're like, man, that really – you got to be ready for him to escape the pocket on third down. Well, guess what? That first third down against the Atlanta Falcons, do you think you're ripping the edge on Caleb McGarry and your eyes are in the dirt and you're grinding your knees on the ground?
Absolutely.
Your
not.
Eyes are in the backfield, bro. Like, your eyes are, oh, where's he going to go? Where's he going to step up? Do I need to worry about the B-gap? Do I need to worry about the edge? Do we need to have a spy? Your eyes, your entire rush for your entire defense – just based off him flexing maybe once or twice a week that he can take off running, your coaching points as a defensive lineman have completely changed. And to be honest, I thought, Dylan, and the three games we saw Michael Penix last year, I thought we'd see more scrambling. I really did. And I thought it was going to be a game changer for the line up front in terms of pass protection. We didn't. I think we saw one scramble, maybe two, from Michael Penix in that three-game series, and I don't even remember how many yards he got on one scramble. Wasn't many. He stepped up in the pocket and took off. We've talked till we're blue in the face, and I know Kalen DeBoer was on with the morning shift a couple of weeks ago. The difference between Michael Penix at Indy ACLs and the addition we saw at Washington and Kalen DeBoer's offense, which they were both Kalen DeBoer's offense, but post-ACLs, he is a slinger from the pocket at Washington. He was a runner at Indiana. He has the ability to do that. I don't want him to be part of this rushing offense. I don't even want him to do the same things that Desmond Ridder was doing 2 years ago on the zone read. I don't want that. But if once a game, twice a game, and I'm talking about along the lines of, let's just call it Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
If you can take off and pick up a first down with your legs, it not only changes that series or that quarter or that game, it changes the game planning of every defensive lineman that you'll see for the next week, the next 2 weeks, the next three, having their eyes in the backfield. So impossible to measure how much something like that changes things. Offensive line, we're going to talk to Chris Lindstrom coming up here in just a little bit about some of these things, but if he just shows it one time in week one, week two, it will change the rest of the season in terms of what the Atlanta Falcons are asked to do in pass protection.
I mean, because what I'm gathering for you, it's all about keeping the defense honest and showing, hey, you can't just free rush is willy-nilly. Like you said, you can't just put your head in the dirt, put your head down, and try to get to that spot. You got to make sure that he's not trying to escape out of the backfield and you're not just making it easy for him to step up and get, like you said, that 20-yard gainer on third down or whatever the case may be. So, really, again, Michael Penix showing off his legs isn't about, oh, you know, trying to be flash or anything, but it's just about keeping the defense honest.
100%. He's not Jaden Daniels and won't be, and I don't want him to be Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I don't want him to be Kyler Murray. But if you can simply go along the lines of Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, some of these guys that can just step up and gain first downs when needed, not part of the scheme, just when needed, it changes everything for what they're being asked to do up front.
Well, we will see how Michael Penix does with his legs and if he can keep the defense honest with his legs throughout the season. Hopeful that he can do that and confident that he can do that as well. Let's switch gears and let's talk about the defensive side of the ball with an offensive lineman, because Jake Matthews was talking to the media yesterday in a scrum as well. And he was talking about the edge rushes. Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., obviously they have a lot of eyeballs on them, the two first-round rookies coming in to their rookie campaign. And Jake was asked if he's seen any particular trait as far as speed, power, the twitchiness. Has anything like that stood out when it comes to Jalen Walker or James Pierce Jr.?
I've seen a good mix from both of them. They're both twitchy, strong, great get-off. And, yeah, you know, a few practices in, and, you know, we're all still getting into it. But, you know, I expect big things from them.
See, seen a little bit of everything from them. And when you – Mike, I want to ask you this because he was asked about the speed, the power, the twitchiness. Obviously, if you have a if you bring it all to the table, that's the hardest to handle. But what I guess is maybe different for each offensive lineman. But if you had to say one thing that really across the board would give any offensive line trouble, is it more of a guy that can do the bull rush and can really beat you with their power and just push you back? Is it a guy who has a quick first step and can beat you with that speed around the edge? And again, I know it's different for each offensive right. lineman. Each guy is different as far as their play style and what their strengths are, weaknesses are. But if you had to just kind of generalize it and bring it across the board, it's like, okay, if a guy has this in his repertoire, if he has this in his package, he's more than likely going to be a successful edge rusher.
Well, I think it starts with speed. And I think that's the easiest way I've always found to kind of talk about it is to talk about it in terms of hitting a baseball. Right? If you step up to the plate and the guy is throwing 100 miles an hour, it's not – very easy to hit.
Right.
All right. But you can eventually adjust. And there's guys that hit home runs off 100 mile an hour pitchers. If they're throwing 100 every single time, you're going to eventually adjust. You're going to eventually be like, all right, man, I can kind of time this down. I can hit 100 mile an hour. It's when they come in with the 90 mile an hour splitter, right, on top of the 100 mile. Then you're like, okay, well, you know what? That's 10 mile an hour difference. Now all of a sudden I have to be ready for the splitter. And God forbid they come in with the 80 mile an hour changeup because then you are done for. And the guys that do go, you know, let's talk about Dwight Franny's of the world, the guys who have the speed rush that always, you know, could use other things. Robert Mathis, guys like that. John Abraham fits in that as well. They can do a little bit of everything. And John Abraham was a power rusher, but he had speed to kind of set it up. And he would set up speed, speed, speed. And then as soon as you'd get your feet off the ground, moving back as fast as you could and pass that, then he'd put his arm in your chest and then he'd walk you backwards because you weren't ready for it. And that's the thing. It's not so much one thing or the other. It's just knowing that there are so many other things out there. If you try to anchor on the spin move, on the bull rush, now all of a sudden he's speeding around you at the edge. So you can prepare yourself in a bunch of different lights for a huge repertoire, but you're never going to know what's coming at a given instance. If they only have one move and their only speed or their only spin move or their only bull rush or their only twist game, then you can look at it and say, all right, man, I've seen the scouting report. I know what this guy's doing. I can deal with it. But it's when guys can mix in the fastball, the splitter, the changeup, the curve. Now all of a sudden you're guessing at what they might be able to do, and it always keeps you off balance.
There you go. So hopefully we see Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. coming with that repertoire of pass rush moves throughout the season, and hopefully they're racking up a good number of sacks for the Falcons this season. All right, when we come back here, we will, at some point probably, as Falcons practice is starting to wrap up now, at some point we might be joined by Abe Gordon. And Chris Lindstrom is on the way, too. Falcons Pro Bowl and All-Pro offensive guard is on the way as well. So we'll have time to chop it up with both of those gentlemen. So that is coming up here next as your boy Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson join you live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, hanging out with the former Falcon, Mikey P, Mike Johnson. And now we are also joined by one Abe Gordon, executive producer, super producer of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, also host of the ATL Show, and he's on all the different shows filling in. He was on the Steakhouse. He held down the Steakhouse all week last week, and then the week before that, he actually held it down for Mikey P on the morning shift. So, Abe, what's up, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. As you mentioned, I was here with Steakhouse on Thursday, the first open day of practice, so they were practicing alongside the show, so kind of like you guys today. I didn't get an opportunity to see it the other day, so I wanted to come up here today and see what was going on.
Yeah, thanks for being our eyes and ears, by the way.
I was there, baby.
Ding. First things first, are you as low on Happy Gilmore 2 as everybody else seems
no,
to be?
No, and I've found some of the reactions interesting. I've seen some positive and some very negative. I don't know what you expected, man. Like, I think part of the problem is that you expect to have the same comedic mindset as your own.
It's not the same as it was 30 years ago.
Well, we're
comedy's
all
not
people.
The same.
We're all in a different place than we were 30 years ago.
That's right. That's right.
And so I enjoyed it. I thought it was done very well. Look, what are you looking for, man? It made me laugh a couple of times out loud. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me.
I love to hear it, man.
All right, Abe, I do want to, right off the rip, obviously you were taking everything in, and Mike gave you specific things to look for during practice today.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to any of those things.
It'd be like that. You know, son, the homework, I guess, was optional for Abe Gordon. But anywho, what was your biggest takeaway from practice today, if you had to give me one?
Yeah, I mean, look, I did stay on the offense more so than the defense, although I tried to update Mike as to the secondary. We'll start here with the secondary. There's a lot of rotation in and out. It's very tough to keep track of both the corner opposite AJ, what's going on in the safety roles, who's on first team, who's on second team. I think there's just a lot of interchangeable pieces, especially when you're a nickel, Mike. I mean, it's not that unexpected. Fuller and Helms and Bowman and Watts. There's just a lot of people who could play in a variety of formations, a variety of roles. So from the defensive side, I certainly noticed that. It was a good day for Michael Penix. And I know you want to look at the statistics of training camp practices.
Nobody. I'm good.
I get that. Neither do I, Mike. But it wasn't great yesterday. Today was a big bounce back. They just closed out practice with a red zone drill. Three touchdowns from Penix in the red zone. Ray McLeod, Drake London, and Chris Blair with a nice, we'll call it a fade. So it was a good day for Michael Penix. I was chatting with Maria Martin, keeping an eye on the snaps. Keeping an eye on Nuzel a little bit. There were some questions about what's going on there. A little bit low at times. But other right. than that, Ray McLeod, I think, also had a nice day. Asking and looking at who's going to be there with Mooney out. Ray McLeod, I think, stepped into that role a lot more today, depending on formation. You did see a little bit of Kadarryl Hodge as well, but Ray McLeod looked very impactful today.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that. And look, I think there's so many things. I agree with you about the secondary. From what I've seen so far, it's like, hey, we're going to give everybody an opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's see who steps up to the challenge. Let's see who makes plays.
And there are two locks, right? It's AJ and Jesse Bates.
Correct.
Everything else is kind of up there.
Everything else is up there. And I think a lot of that, to be honest, if everything's even, it'll be who can contribute on special teams as well that can kind of lend itself to that. I also want to talk a little bit about some of the pieces up front. And I know that I was putting you to task of, hey, what are they starting? Is it 3-4, 4-3? Who's blitzing? You said a little bit more blitz heavy today. And Dylan and I started talking on the show about how they were blitz happy yesterday to an extent from reports. But in training camp, it's both sides adjust, right? You have one guy that will come out. They won't blitz on day one. Then all of a sudden the defense puts in their blitzes. They install their blitzes on day two. And then day three of practice, the offense kind of rebounds and says, all right, here's how we're going to pick up this blitz. Here's how we're going to pick up that blitz. What did you see in terms of the blitzers? Who was in the backfield today making an impact, getting through the offensive line and putting hands on the quarterback?
Well, from a positional standpoint, it was the linebackers to me. They were coming through both around the end and through the middle as well. And look, if you're going to sit here and say – you got a quarterback in Michael Penix who's QB1 that's got three games. I'm throwing everything at him now so he doesn't see something week one, week two that he hasn't planned and prepared for in practice. So, and that's part of the task, especially when you're talking about your second team defense going against your first team offense, preparing these guys for what they're going to see week one. Yeah, I'm going to blitz a lot to make sure this guy's ready for when teams do blitz him. I do think it was very quick. First read's not there. Second read has to be there. And today it was. I also think you saw a number of dump-offs intelligently to Bajan as well. So Penix is dealing with the blitz, getting the ball out of his hand quickly. I think that's good. But there were one or two occasions where the blitz got through, either to blow up a handoff in the hole or to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Abe, it is Abe Gordon, by the way, joining us, super producer for the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, and also host of the ATL show, and a great feeling on all the other stations, all the other shows when he is needed. I do want to stick with the defense here for a second. When you were just talking about the blitzes, and when you're talking about them coming up the middle, were you noticing, as far as Kate Nellis goes, is he a guy that, from what you've seen so far, is he going to be a guy that you think could be blitzing on a regular basis as far as out of that linebacker spot?
Yeah, he was certainly one of the guys that they were sending. And again, we talk about the secondary. The linebackers had a lot of movement in them as well. Bertrand and Diablo and Caden, they were all involved rotating. So, I think Caden Ellis is going to be used. And we've seen it at times, too. Like, that's part of the reason you brought him over from New Orleans. He had 5.5 sacks, and Terry Fontenot looks at this guy and says, we use him right, we can do more. You combine that, Mike, with Jeff Ulbrich and what he likes to do, it seems like a perfect fit. He was definitely used in that manner today.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I get excited about what Jeff Ulbrich's going to do. And I think that's such a training camp thing. You fall in love with coordinators during training camp because you're like, oh, man, the possibilities are endless. And you don't have pads on today, so they start blitzing. It's like the offensive line's not going to pick up an A-gap blitzer under the chin. You know, Jeff Ulbrich's going to send those guys, and you'll react, and you'll get Penix to go to slide protections and things like that. Look, I want to talk about Drake London. There was reports yesterday that he had a little bit of a tough day. I know he threw his helmet at one point, had a couple drops, a fumble. Drake London's day today. You mentioned Michael Penix had a good day. I would have to think that led to Drake London doing the same thing as well.
Yeah, I didn't know about those reports until later in practice. I was talking with some of the other media members, and they said it's not only did Penix bounce back, quote unquote, with whatever, but they said Drake bounced back as well today. And again, I mentioned in the red zone he had a touchdown. And a couple of other plays here and there. I didn't notice anything that would make me look and say that he had a bad day. And I think that's probably good news. If anything, I think Bijan had a drop or two. But, not all of them were perfect throws, great throws. And you're not asking these guys to speed up to catch an overthrow, you know, all that stuff. But, I think Drake had a good day. And again, in the red zone, he, 5 yards, cuts in on a slant, Mike, and the body – forget the separation he created. I didn't get a look at who the DB was, but forget the separation, which was there. But the body itself, he gets the body. We know this basketball guy. He puts his body between the ball and the man and made a nice, easy touchdown for Michael Penix on that one.
Wow. I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to have to kick you off the headset. It looks like you're being bodied to a different
make
direction.
Make sure you report the fights I gave you.
And Dylan, you can go ahead and throw to it. We are welcoming in the man right now. That is Chris Lindstrom, the right guard for the Atlanta Falcons, man.
Yes.
So appreciate you hanging out with us.
Appreciate you hanging out with us.
You can sit over here if you want some fan, or if I don't know if it'll reach. But
no, yeah, hey, if you want to switch with me, I got some.
I'm good. I promise.
Yeah. It is All-Pro and Pro Bowl offensive lineman and right guard for the Atlanta Falcons, Chris Lindstrom. Chris, man, thank you first of all for joining us today. How was practice out there, man? Obviously, it was a little bit hotter today. How was it?
It's awesome, and I think now my seventh camp here, I think this might have been the most fans I've ever seen here, and so there's an energy and a buzz.
Boom.
And that helps. I mean, these days are so hard. You know, it's hot, and I know it's evolved over the years, but camp is still camp. And so when you have the energy of 5,000 people here, it gets you through, especially when you do those red zone periods.
I'm curious, and look, I don't want to point out anything for the obvious, but you're sweating right now. You just got off the field. I was telling Dylan earlier, for me, I was always like 11 and a half or 12 pounds after a training camp practice. And you get the double IVs, and you go in there with Denny Long, and you get hooked up, and the EMTs in there. What is it for you on a daily basis? Like, how much are you losing, gaining? How hard do you have to fight to get it back on every day?
Man, it's the same exact thing. Nothing's changed. I'm usually at the minimum 7 upwards. I think the most I've ever lost is 11 pounds. But it's 7 to 11 pounds just about every practice. And like you said, Danny Long and the staff that we got here in the training room and nutritionist Steve Benjamin, they give us every tool in the book. But that's the expectation, you're a rookie, you're a younger guy, you come in, and, myself being from the Northeast, this is an adjustment. Like, you got to be at your best every day, and you lose 10, 11 pounds, all of a sudden you're not on top of your hydration, and, you're dragging out there. So, same thing. I'm 2 IVs, a Pedialyte, and staying on top of it.
Love it, man.
It is Falcons All-Pro and Pro Bowl right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Dylan Matthews and Mike P, former Atlanta Falcon and former Atlanta Falcon offensive lineman Mike Johnson with us here. Chris, I do want to ask you this. Obviously, you got to get some great time in games with Ryan Neuzel, who's obviously taking over at that starting center job. How big was it? And how big is it going to be moving forward, getting those snaps and getting those games with him? Obviously, you're going to be next to him throughout the year this year. How big is it going to be going into this year, being able to hit the ground running with him?
I think right now it's the huge emphasis. The whole point of training camp is to work out the kinks and those combinations. And so Ryan and I, just about every single combination, we're talking it through, saying, hey, did you like my spacing here? Do you need a little bit more? You need a little bit less? And if our timing's off, we kind of work through it. And Ryan's great. I mean, he's as sharp as anybody mentally. And he's doing a great job communicating up there and doing a great job leading us. But yeah, I think right now it's just kind of working those combinations, and we have so many reps in the bank. But even like even my stuff with Caleb, we're talking it through right now because we want to be perfect heading into week one.
I love it, man, and I want to hit on that just a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds for the listeners out there, but I talk all the time about you guys wide zone. I've talked to Jake about this last year. Jake's actually the only guy left on the team that I played with. He's been around that freaking long. But I talked about how friendly this offense can be under Dwayne Ledford in the wide zone, and you fit it like a puzzle piece. I mean, you fit it absolutely perfectly to what they're looking for. And obviously when Zach Robinson got here last year, it was very apparent to me. It was like, hey, D-Led, you deal with the run game. I'll deal with the passing game. We'll kind of move from there. But is that evolving at all? I mean, I talk about it all the time on the show. You guys pull less as a pair of guards than any offense in the NFL. I mean, is that something that you think we can expect to continue to see, or do you see any wrinkles coming down the pipe this year in terms of the run game?
I think we're always constantly looking to evolve, and I think you do a lot of self-scouting, and so Zach's doing a great job right now, and like you said, Led does such a great job with us in the wide zone, and I think what makes the wide zone so great is they talk about all the time in the NFL playing fast, but how do you play fast? And you know this, like when you're protected in a combination, you got somebody coming with you, and you're not afraid of failure. You're not afraid of a guy beating you inside, because you know you got your teammate there. Then you can play even faster. And so when you get on that, and then you just start chasing that speed and that confidence in one another, and I think that's what makes us so great.
Yeah.
How's it been as far as the adjustment? Obviously, every quarterback has a different cadence and the way they just call out the plays and things like that. How's it been adjustment to the cadence of Michael Penix Jr.?
Mike's done a great job. I think we got to work the reps at the end of last season, and then he did a great job this spring. And hopefully by the time we get to the first game of the season, you know, I can hear Mike's voice in my sleep, you know. And that's the biggest thing. And timing it up, like, you know, how he rolls his huts, like how that difference. And honestly, it gets to a point now at some point mid-season where he says hut, and it's supposed to be, you know, on one, but it's really, you can tell by his voice that he thinks it's on two or something like that. Like,
yeah.
You get to that point where you can even tell the inflections in his voice. Not there yet, but we're definitely getting there.
I love to hear that, man. I was explaining to these guys in the build-up of training camp the anxiety that can kind of go through you as a player. I used to lay down in bed, and I'd wake up, and I would be in a one-on-one pass pro in my brain. You know what I mean? I'd be stressing my chest muscles, and I'd be like, oh. And it's just some people don't understand because, it's always constantly kind of evolving in your mind. You always think about it, obviously always being here and you know, being a part of that. So I love to hear that about Penix's cadence. And I had the same questions. Look, we all watched the Kirk Cousins Netflix documentary. It's week one. T.J. Watt's kind of getting off on the snap count, and Kirk Cousins is going, yeah, it's just a lot going on, man. You know, a lot of motions, trying to get a hard count with the motions and timing up Charlie Warner and things like that. What are the differences that you see throw? I mean, I realize you guys haven't even strapped the pads on, but the battery of Neuzel to Penix, obviously different than the battery you dealt with last year. Is there anything – have you guys had any hiccups from that aspect?
Not so far, and I think I observed this too, like this past week. I don't think we've had any, you know, standard week one of camp things, you know, fumbles or snaps, you know, balls hitting off guys, and I think we've been pretty clean operationally, and I think, you know, you continue to evolve that, start working in silent cadence, so by the time you play on the road, it's not the first time you've ever done it.
Yep.
And Mike, too, for being a young player, is changing up his snap counts and working it now, and it's challenging us as O-linemen. Because, you know, I think this is probably the worst shape we're going to be in, you know, all season.
Yep.
And so if we're straining mentally to think about the cadence now, by the time we get in season, we're going to be rolling.
It is Falcons All-Pro and Pro Bowl right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson hanging out here with you. I want to talk about what you've been seeing from a couple of these interior guys that we know and we saw flashes from last year. When you talk about Ruka Rororo, when you talk about Brandon Dorlus, those are guys that, again, we saw flashes of last year, but they didn't get to see too much, unfortunately, because of injuries and things of that nature. And we've been hearing that, obviously, new defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich has been sending a lot of blitzes. Blitz has been pretty blitz-heavy so far here. So what have you noticed from the guys on the interior, the Ruka Roros, the Brandon Dorluses of the world so far?
Yeah, I think from what Mike said about what Coach Ledford did for my career, I think Brick has got it for these guys, and these guys are fitting into it. They're feeling confident. They're having fun. And you can see a big growth in them, and then, you know, I think year two in the NFL is the biggest jump for guys, and it's really cool to see them out here, how much better they've gotten, how much stronger they are, and how much more comfortable they are playing every single day.
I'd love to hear it, man. And we got a few minutes left here with Chris Lindstrom, Pro Bowl right guard, All Pro right guard for the Atlanta Falcons. What about you? What have you focused on throughout the offseason? And obviously, I think we start with the Panthers last year. It was an early season game against the Panthers, and always that matchup with their interior defensive lineman is always a tough thing. But look, you've been all pro. You've been Pro Bowl. You've reached the highest of the highs in terms of grades with PFF and everything else like that. What is Chris Lindstrom focused on going into 2025?
For myself personally, it's, continuing to what I do best, and, that's the wide zone. And so I still want to be, the best in the world at that, and work in the fundamentals that it takes for that. And then in the pass pro, you're always seeking perfection. You're never going to get it. And no matter what, there's Jake Matthews and Zach Martin are probably the two guys where I've seen where it's like every single pass that they set, it's perfection. I'm constantly chasing that, and I think knowing your own skill set, knowing your strengths and weaknesses. And so for myself, it's just constantly working the pass stuff, constantly working, schematically and everything. So
I'm curious to hear, too, and we got into this a little bit last year, the screen game. And I had a feeling like going into this, there would be some more emphasis from Zach Robinson on the screen game. What can we expect out of that? I mean, do you like running screens? Do you like getting out in space? Or is it like, dude, I don't need to be out there in the wide open field trying to block a DB?
Man, I love it. I mean, anything to slow those guys down, and honestly, one less drop back pass rep I'm good with. So, yeah. But the spacing aspect of it too, right? It's spacing and timing, and yep. Each screen has a different spacing and different timing, and it looks like you just throw it out there, and he hasn't and runs in their space, but there's a lot of details that go into it, and it's something that you can't take for granted. It needs a lot of work, so I'm glad we're doing it.
And we actually talked a little bit earlier, and you mentioned Michael Penix a couple of different times. I thought in his three starts we would probably see him take off and run a couple of more times than he did. Only like once, maybe twice, did he take off and actually scramble. Talk to us a little bit about how that changes things in terms of how you are rushed as an offensive lineman. If he takes off and runs one time over in the game, all of a sudden the defense tackle's eyes are in the backfield a little bit more. He's having to kind of two-gap and make sure he can shed. It can really change the name of the game in terms of y'all's job.
Yeah, for sure. I think you described it great. And, when you had Kirk and then Matt Ryan was here today, those guys are more traditional pocket passers. And so you're going to get push up the middle, right? Because those guys are as quick in their progression. So you're going to get a lot of power rushes. And they're going to try and penetrate up the middle because they're not so worried about getting flushed out to the outside. And those guys have, their superpowers that they can process everything so quickly and get the ball out. And then a little bit different when, Marcus and Desmond, is a little bit softer on the inside, a little bit deeper in the pass rush to keep those guys kind of in the pocket. And Mike, we're constantly figuring out is just where his depth of his drop's going to be. And I think when we're out there playing, you're not thinking about where Mike is. You just have this sixth sense that, all right, I'm getting knocked back. How much space do I have to Mike? All right, I really got to dig in right here because I know Mike's probably a foot behind me. And kind of knowing, hey, I can run the guy up the field a little bit, or, I got to set a little bit deeper because Mike's going to be deeper. And so just kind of right now working that where he is in the pocket.
All pro and Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons. Right guard Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just want to know real quick before we get you out of here, what are the training camp essentials, man? I know some guys, they got to have the gaming system.
The
some
box
guys,
fan. He was talking about the box fan.
He was a box fan guy. What's the training camp essential list for Chris Lindstrom?
Well, I got to thank Mr. Blank. He's got the AC cranking back.
Yes,
for us. So thank you, Mr. Blank.
Smooth 65, 68.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So thank you, Mr. Blank, for that. And then my own pillow. I think that's a huge necessity. I bring an Xbox, not a ton. I'm going to bed at 8:30 most nights anyways, but have it there just in case. And then the biggest, in-season thing is dude wipes. And, it's the smallest thing, man. But it's
moisture is the enemy, my friend. Moisture is the enemy.
It's the small necessities in camp.
You're not one of those guys that hauls in a Serta mattress on day one of training camp and has to take it back out 3 weeks later?
Nope.
Had a few of those. Tony Gonzalez was that guy, man. He had the Serta sleeper. I'm like, dude, go do a commercial somewhere. Look, before we let you out, what was the offseason like? Any fun thing? Did you go to any concerts, any trips, anything like that were a lot of fun? Tell us about what the offseason was like.
Yeah, I got to go out to Joshua Tree National Park. Got to see two of my friends, Matt Hennessy and Drew Dahlman, who are both here. They were spending the offseason out in California, so got to see them. Had a great time at the national park, went on a bunch of those hikes. My wife and I, we love doing that. So did that, and then a big Formula One fan, so we went up to Montreal and got to see the race up there. So Yeah, that's pretty fun.
I
do.
I stream Mario Kart every now and again on Twitch. Okay. I gotta put that out there. So
same.
What?
He's like samesies.
Xbox. What are you playing? What's your go-to?
I can't play competitive video games in season because it defeats the purpose of checking out and kind of relaxing.
Very true.
I did get the new Mario Kart with my wife though, and we've been playing. Have you been going at it?
I haven't got it yet, but we're working on it. So okay. I haven't been able to play Mario Kart World yet, but I've seen it. It looks good.
Man, it is so much fun, and it's a blast. The new things, I got the knockout tour, stuff like that. It's a really good game.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you hanging out with me. Go get a couple IVs in there.
Yeah, we'll do.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Chris. That is Atlanta Falcons All-Pro and Pro Bowl right guard Chris Lindstrom hanging out with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you so much again for the time, Chris. All right, we are going to go ahead and catch a quick break here, and we'll be right back when we come back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll continue to get you some takeaways from another day of Atlanta Falcons training camp and let you hear a little bit more from the likes of Arthur Blank, Jake Matthews, Ryan Newsel. All that's coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.